601-361-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're talking about an issue that I believe everyone recognizes. We understand it, we see it, but many do not know what to call it. I'm calling it today cultural lawlessness. Or you could make a transition with that, cultural Marxism. We're witnessing today an attempt in several of our blue cities and states to overthrow the American way of life, to undermine, tear down, and destroy our Constitution and our constitutional requirements and liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're witnessing an increase in the culture of lawlessness. Now, you've heard me say before, and let me, at the risk of redundancy, repeat that for us. It is found in the Gospel of Matthew, and in Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter, dropping down to about 9 and following, let me read to us what the Scripture says. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all people, hated of all nations, for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And the Scripture goes down to verse 12, then it says, we're in Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The word iniquity there can be translated twisted, perverted sin, or lawlessness. We're witnessing today lawlessness that I would have never dreamed would be possible in America. Why is that so? Because America has a constitution. We're a system of laws. We're a people of law-abiding. And yet we find today, ladies and gentlemen, illegal voting, illegal stealing of billions, illegals are receiving benefits, illegals are committing crimes, illegals are influencing House seat counts, illegals are changing the electoral college numbers, etc., etc., etc. Many will say that's not happening. Ladies and gentlemen, it is taking place, and it's called lawlessness, a culture of lawlessness. It was Barack Hussein Obama, and then Sleepy Joe, Otapin Biden, that it appeared didn't think that they were responsible for carrying out the laws of the land. Now, Biden was probably the worst of the two of those that I mentioned. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's a fact that it has gotten progressively, increasingly worse since President Trump went into office. And we'll tell you why in a moment. We're going to be looking at that in a moment. But let me remind you, right after a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. That call-in telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We invite your telephone call, your dialogue and discussion on the issue. Question that I need to ask in setting the stage for your response. Do you see America as becoming a lawless nation? We're witnessing more and more every day of the lawlessness. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the issue of lawlessness that we'll talk about today. But at this point, let me remind you, tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll be talking about the rising of Islam. The rise of Islam. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, they're scheduling Islam, the Council on American Islamic Relations, scheduling a day in Tallahassee. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not looking at my notes, but I believe it's next Monday. And they're going to be transporting Muslims from across America, and primarily in the state of Florida, to the capital in Tallahassee, making demands, requests, requirements, and pressure on our legislators. We'll talk about that in depth tomorrow. But ladies and gentlemen, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, rising up and taking a stand. And by the way, CARE is part of the unindicted co-conspirators that was in the Holy Land Foundation fraud in Texas back in, I believe it was 2006 or 2009. And many of those that were the leaders therein were prosecuted. Some were not. But ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing in the state of Florida, just as in the state of Texas, just as in New York City, just as we see in Michigan, just as we've witnessed for years in Dearborn, Michigan, where Islam is rising up and taking a stand of control and forcing others to simply bow. For 1,400 years, every nation that Islam has entered, it has ultimately dominated. We'll talk about that in depth tomorrow. I want to put you on notice so that you can be getting your pencils out, sharpening your points, and ready to take notes and or calling others. I believe everybody that's listening now, get on your telephone and text a dozen people. Tell them to tune in tomorrow. It is that important. It's that urgent that we understand what's happening. In the state of Florida, we've got about 500,000 Islamics. In the state of Florida, we've got about, I believe it's 390 mosques. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said so often, it comes right out of the Quran, and I have codified in my book entitled, Is Islam Tolerant? Once a Islamic group in a city, state, or nation gets between 2 and 6%, they will stand up and take control. By the way, just as a little footnote, in validation of that, in New York City, when Islamic jihadist Marxist communist just took power as mayor, there's 11% Islam in New York City. 11%. It takes only 2 to 6% for them to rise up and take control. So it's that important, that urgent, that we understand what's happening and want to deal with that issue tomorrow so that you've got time to call your representatives and your senators in Tallahassee, warn them, be careful, and understand what's taking place and the rationale behind it. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, we're talking about cultural lawlessness. I want to remind you that we face the issues based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Truth Book. When the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, he says, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy Word is truth." Further in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the Bible says that the truth of the Lord endures forever. She asked the question, how long is forever? Forever is forever. Never ending forever. But ladies and gentlemen, also I need to remind you that George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Now listen very carefully. We're going to be getting into some depth and details in relationship to the cultural lawlessness. We're going to use Minnesota as a good example and other cities and other states. But of course, Minnesota is the eye of the storm today across America. But as George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. And we find that's factually true today. You can talk with ICE agents, you can talk with Border Patrol agents, you can talk with Kristi Noem, you can talk with President Trump, you can talk with the one Tom Holman that's heading up the DHS. Ladies and gentlemen, they will say one thing, but what you hear out of Small Fry, the mayor in Minneapolis, and Waltz, the governor, you hear a totally different story. You can't have two different completely opposite stories without thinking something is wrong. And it's because the more you drift from the truth, the more you'll hate those who speak it. That's happening today. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater evidence of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our churches. And the sad thing is, according to a survey about 1 year ago, 55% of the millennials, that's 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, that age group says that each and every person determines their own version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie, and yet we find that taking place in every area today, sometimes even in the realm of theological, doctrinal, biblical facts. There's a question and a challenge. I'm looking at a headline that should be the memory statement, if you will, for today. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. The article reads in part, American institutions are suffering from a collapse in the public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. And it goes on to state, it is fashionable in academia today and has been for decades that truth is relative, or that there is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, and even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Therein lies the problem. But I go back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. As Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, we need to love the truth. Seek it, listen to it, learn it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend it even to death. Charlie Kirk did that. I'm not one to put him on a pedestal higher than where you'd place the Lord Jesus, but Charlie Kirk was standing on truth. As a result of that, his life was taken as a result of standing on truth. Assassination. And that's what has been attempted across the nation today, is the assassination of whoever stands for truth. Not necessarily with a bullet, but assassination of character, of trying to tear down and destroy that one that's speaking truth without admixture or fear. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a full line of Honda generators. And the Tools for a Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just absolutely taken aback when I read article after article after article, which is validating the depth and the breadth of lawlessness, Marxism, being carried out in the state of Minnesota, under the leadership, the domination, and the encouragement of the governor in the state of Minnesota. And the small fry, his name is Fry, I call him Small Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis. Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad to see what's taking place. Here's one article. It says, my shirt was drenched with blood. Wicked thugs stabbed a man and his dog after the victim identifies himself as a Christian. Now, this is not in Minnesota. It happens to be in Washington State. A man allegedly stabbed a Parkland, Washington resident and his dog early Sunday, after confronting the victim in a convenience store parking lot about his religious beliefs. In fact, the article goes on that this individual approached him, said, "What religion are you?" And he didn't want to answer. And finally he said, "Well, I reckon you'd call me a Christian." The man pulled out his knife, stabbed him several times, stabbed his dog. This article says the answer was, "I said, I'm not religious," he said. And then he goes, "Well, what religion are you?" And I said, "Well, I guess I'm a Christian." The assailant reportedly struck him multiple times with two knives, puncturing his lung during the assault. Also, his girlfriend, he was told his girlfriend to release the dog. When the dog lunged at the attacker, the dog was stabbed as well. The deputies canvassing the area with the canine unit and spotted the suspect about 8:45 a.m. fleeing into a residential neighborhood. A deputy confronted the man in a backyard and found him armed. Deputies later killed the suspect following a brief manhunt. He was armed with a couple of knives, and he came toward the deputies. Multiple deputies opened fire. Paramedics transported the suspect to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go from article to article to article. It's not just the thugs in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's not just the thugs in some of the other major blue cities and states that's after anything that's called or against anything that's called morals and ethics and values. We're witnessing the increase exponentially across the nation and around the world against Christians, against churches, against pastors. So, ladies and gentlemen, my major promulgation of facts is what if we see this continue to erode and destroy, undermining the foundation of America, where we no longer have a Bill of Rights? Where are the religious liberties that we have today? Where would we be with the freedom of speech that we have today if we have no Bill of Rights? And if we have no constitutional government, ladies and gentlemen, we would lose it as Christians, the opportunity to evangelize, the opportunity to have a church, the opportunity to preach the gospel. Here's an article, barely made it out alive. James O'Keefe attacked in Minneapolis and gets threatened. You have 1 hour to leave or you're dead. It's a four-page article. I'll simply summarize it. He received a text on his cell telephone, said, "We know who you are. You're driving," and identified his car, identified his tag number, identified his phone number by their text message, said, "We know you're in Minneapolis. If you're not out in 1 hour, we're going to kill you." Ladies and gentlemen, that is unleashing of the demonic powers in any city, state, or nation where that is taking place. It is a horrible thought to recognize and understand what is taking place in Minneapolis, in particular, in Minnesota, where you have the mayor of the city in Minneapolis, and you have the governor encouraging the people to take your cell telephone out, video it, make a picture of it, etc., 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 and challenging, encouraging, and embracing the people to stand up against law and order. It's a lawlessness that we see taking place. It is a culture of lawlessness that is happening. Now, the headline says, "Antifa influencer declares guerrilla warfare against all ICE in Minnesota." In Minnesota, a man calls himself Antifa urged his nearly 36,000 Instagram followers to get your guns and stop the federal law enforcement after a Border Patrol agent fatally shot an armed man in the city. It goes on to talk about what is taking place. It says, "My name is Kyle. I'm Antifa, and there's so much rage in me. I've had to record this like 15 minutes, 15 different times to get the message out." He addresses the camera in a video posted on Instagram. He says, "This is wrong. This is bad." He uses a lot of profanity. But he says, we need to absolutely wipe out ICE in Minnesota. That's calling for absolute mass slaughter. That's calling for mass murder in the state of Minnesota. And we see that taking place. All we can call it, ladies and gentlemen, is cultural lawlessness, where there's no view, no recognition of the law and order at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we're told that the Border Patrol and ICE agents are experiencing an increase of several thousand percentage of attacks against law enforcement in general. In the city after city across America, we're witnessing the attacks against law enforcement. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, across America today, a mindset that regardless of what the law says, I don't have to adhere to it. Regardless of what ICE says, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, how's this come about? It's taken place in America because Joe Biden ignored his constitutional responsibilities of protecting the borders. Therefore, between 20 and 25 million illegals invaded America, coming across the borders, coming into America because the president, Sleepy Joe, Joe Biden, Auto Pen Biden, refused to honor his constitutional responsibilities, Article 2 in the Constitution, of protecting the borders, protecting the citizens in the United States of America. I am saddened, ladies and gentlemen, but that's the fact. May I say to you, headline says, Pam Bondi says, two people arrested over the protest at Minnesota church service. Listen, perhaps you're familiar with that. A little over a week ago, church service was invaded by several, two or three dozen thugs, chanting, making fun of, and calling the parishioners white nationalists, calling them Nazis. And I didn't realize in the past week, until recent research, that those thugs had blocked the exit doors and several occasions where women were crouching, hugging their child under their arms and trying to get out of the side doors. They were blocked and not allowed to get out. And the thugs that were there invading the church said, do you know your parents are Nazis? Do you know your parents are Nazis? The parishioners were absolutely terrified to do anything. And yet Don Lemon, as he wanted to be called several years ago on CNN, Don Lemon says that that's exactly what the thugs should have done entering that church. He said he had a constitutional freedom of speech right. You've heard me say before on that subject. There's no right to enter into private property, breaking into a worship service. There's several federal laws on the books. Most states have state laws on the books that prevent that. And yet Don Lemon says that, come after me, Pam Bond, if you can. He feels he's above the law. That's what we're talking about today, a culture of lawlessness. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Discernment, the lack thereof, because of not being raised in a biblical environment, is a huge issue. In 1925, a man wrote a book, and in that book he wrote a section that says, and he described how people could be induced to believe a colossal lie just by the sheer impudence of somebody telling such a colossal lie so thoroughly. His minister followed up 10 years later and said, if you tell a lie enough times, it becomes the truth. What we're seeing is the same playbook and just a reiteration of it that has been done consistently throughout history to bring those without discernment into the streets. I mean, we saw this during the Roman Senate, you know, over 2,000 years ago in Cicero's time. Mm-hmm. We saw, and here's the best example of it, Barabbas is standing next to Pontius Pilate. Pontius has decreed that I find nothing wrong with this man, but I must release one of these to you. And the crowd, stirred up by the Jewish Sanhedrin, released Barabbas, our murderer, instead of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're seeing the exact same thing over and over and over again. The lack of discernment, the lack of proper upbringing with Christ and with the Bible and with knowing God has led many to be deceived, to commit acts that are criminal in nature against their fellow human beings. And it's sad. It's completely sad, sir.
Absolutely. Jim, if you've got a moment, I've got an article that's printed out. One of our sons you've heard on the radio talking with Greg.
Many times.
Greg posted this on Facebook, and I printed it out. Greg says, we're at a tipping point. Under a refuge status, Minneapolis is forever changed. their residents' likely permanent voting bloc, adverse to the American unity of survival. It was an experiment in political leveraging. That is not an isolated condition. Under Biden, border control was turned off. Tens of millions of illegals were allowed to flood into America. We were told nothing could be done to secure the borders or to defy all things obvious. The border is secure. Both of these statements were lies. In violation of Article 2 of the Constitution, Biden refused to see that the laws were faithfully executed. It was and is a political power grab. Sadly, this does not end very well for anyone. The world's only superpower, the shining city on a hill, will fall. Rather than exercising individual Christian charity, many have embraced social justice, which is merely renamed for Marxism. The broad assumption is that one may vote to be charitable with another's resources, or that government has the power to continue printing money without destroying its value. Neither are possible. And he goes on to talk about payday someday, and he says this: the house of debts cards, the house of debt cards, is about to collapse. $38 trillion is the tip of the iceberg. Hundreds of trillions have been committed without $1 of revenue to support them. Leftists assume they can steal the wealth from billionaires, an age-old envy titillating scheme, to pay the bill. What they don't understand nor concede is that American billionaires and their wealth can pay for 1 year of the leftist promises. From a worldly perspective, this will end badly. And then he talks about Revelation chapter 18, which is where the whole nation, the system collapses around the globe. So, Jim, what say you? Is that pretty much on target, as Greg had outlined it there, where we're witnessing the causative factor that started the dominoes to fall in this article? And I believe it is true. It was Joe Biden refusing to carry out his constitutional responsibilities, his constitutional duties, the law of the Constitution. He failed to commit to, lied about, kept the borders open. Until now, we have been invaded. And I've used the term, Jim, at the rate, even though I'm thankful to see President Trump and his team getting a lot of these out, at the rate we're going, it will take 100 years to remove the 20 to 25 million illegal invaders that came in. So by saying that, we know it won't happen. What are your thoughts on that? How do you respond to that?
Extremely well written and thought out. He has prosed modern day occurrences onto the historical definition and known outcomes of socialist societies throughout history in a well thought out, concise statement. And he has put that in a biblical perspective that addresses what John had written in Revelation in regards to what is going to occur in the end times there. One of these days I'm going to meet him, whether it's here or on the other side, and I'm going to enjoy the conversations that we'll have.
Amen.
Sure.
The two of you would have. That's a good thought. Two of you,
yes,
would,
sir.
Have. You're equal thinkers in that realm, and I'm thankful for both of you. Jim, thank
I'm
you so much.
For him.
Thank you so much for your
and
calling
you,
input.
Sir.
Thank you. God bless you, and
you
have a great day.
God
stay
bless
warm.
You,
stay warm.
You too,
ladies
sir.
And gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about cultural lawlessness, or if you'd put it in the truer sense, cultural Marxism that would see taking place, pervading, invading, controlling in many areas of America today. I'm looking at a headline that says, "Gloves are off. Antifa agitator called for armed men." Listen, I'm talking about not today, cultural lawlessness. Listen to this article. "Gloves are off. Antifa agitator calls for armed men in Minneapolis streets to end this all." An agitator, self-described as a member of Antifa, is calling for armed men to patrol the streets in Minneapolis and end all of this. Speaking of what's happening in the city with the ICE agents and other law enforcement agencies. So this article reads further. "There have been multiple riots and other protests in Minneapolis over recent weeks as the administration of President Donald Trump uses immigration and customs enforcement officers to enforce the nation's border and immigration laws. two agitators have been shot and killed in confrontations with federal officers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University